The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
He came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come to hear him and be healed of their disease. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him. For power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Holy One, bring us again into your presence, that by your Spirit and by your word, we might continue to know your will for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So first of all, the most important question that you're all going to want to know, Pastor Pam is fine. You don't care about me, but that's okay. We took a little trip, and the deal was if we went before Sunday, I would preach. And it was a fun trip, and we're going to get to the gospel in a bit, but you know, sometimes I wander around a little bit. Yeah, you guys do know me, don't you? Casablanca, how many have seen that movie? It's a great movie. And we went to Chicago because the Chicago Symphony, they were projecting the movie and the symphony was playing the music. And the thing that really surprised me is I've seen that movie a lot because back on November 4th, 1983, a bouncing co-ed came into the mailroom at St. Olaf where I was selling flowers and asked me on a date. Does anyone know who the bouncing co-ed was? It was Casablanca. And we've seen it many times since then. And I always thought of it as kind of this big dramatic thing, but when you separate the music out and when you sit in a room with a couple thousand people, you get a very different perspective on the movie. So if you were to put it in a genre, is it a drama? Is it a romance? Yeah, what about romantic comedy? When you've got a bunch of people in the room who've seen it before, it's unbelievable how many one-line laughs there are in that movie. I had never thought of it that way before. And the other thing that my wife pointed out to me is in the underneath of the music, every time the Germans did something, the French horns played. I said something about French horns being evil and then I had to walk. But perspective. When you look at the Gospels, when you look at the books of the New Testament, there's a perspective that's involved. So when you pick up John's Gospel, there's this wonderful perspective of Jesus and it tells us so much about who he is, about how God interacts with us. It's a very beautiful book, but it's a very heady book. And we pick up Mark. It starts out, "The good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." So you're immediately pulled in, and you know that the story is the story of God's Son. But when you pick up Luke's gospel, it starts out with a whole bunch of fancy words that basically say, this is the story of Jesus Christ that we're going to tell the world. And so when you look at Luke, the idea is this is the telling of Jesus' story to the world. And so when you get to that passage from today, the blessings, where are we used to seeing Jesus when he does that? He's on the mountain, isn't he? Yeah. In fact, there's a wonderful Monty Python bit about blessed are the cheeseheads, but we're not going to go there. But he's on a mountain. He's kind of up. He's elevated. He's teaching. He's got people spread out all over. But when you get to Luke, Jesus comes down among the people. And that's the first thing I think that Luke teaches us or tells us again about Jesus. That Jesus' ministry is in and among the people of God. This Jesus that we know, this Jesus that loves us, is a very intimate Jesus who gets down into the nitty and the gritty of everyday life. And so then we get into the blessings. They're pretty much the same as Matthew. And as I was reading them again, this thought came through my head again. Sometimes I shouldn't listen, but... Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. So I got to tell you something. That doesn't mean that when we're persecuted Christians, it's a good thing. We have this idea somehow that Christians are getting persecuted around here. And are you getting persecuted? No. No, it's a narrative that sometimes we buy into. That because we're children of God, because we're people of God, somehow the world is persecuting us. And some people will take that and twist it to put themselves in the blessed ones of God's kingdom. It's a good thing, because then, No, that's not what this is all about. That's not what Jesus is telling us in the Gospels. He's reminding us, first of all, that we are blessed children of God, and we've been blessed by God to be God in the world. And that's so important, to be God in the world, to live in the world, to live among the world. That's where we are called to be. And even though at times it may seem like the world fights against us, I don't think it's because we're Christian. I think it's because of the radical message we have to proclaim. Because if you remember back to the Beatitudes, they end with blessedness, don't they? Everybody in the Beatitudes is blessed. No one is cursed. But yet Luke, woe to you who are rich, who have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you that are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. It was such a good bunch of verses until then, wasn't it? And then suddenly, bam, woe to you. I kind of like that, woe to you. What is that doing? Why is that there? Why suddenly does the writer of Luke take these beautiful blessings, these reminders of what it means to be a child of God, to be a people of God, these reminders of what it means to be Jesus in the world, after he goes through all of that, where does the woe come from? Well, it's strange and it's difficult, maybe painful. But the woe comes from the cross. There's, you heard my wife mention last week the sign that says duct tape fixes some, three nails fixes all. I added except bad theology to the end of it. Because when we think about the cross, it's more than Jesus' death and resurrection. To be called to be a follower of Christ is to lead us directly to the cross. And it's not a comfortable place to be, because what does the cross do? The cross changes us. The cross changes the world. When we go to the cross, when we die with Christ, we rise with Christ as new creations. The old is gone, and the new is in Christ. And that's a powerful message when we listen. Because the message of the gospel is not about prosperity. It's not about do good things and good things will happen to you. Because when you say do good things and good things will happen to you, what happens to the 25% of people living in Galesburg below the federal poverty line? Are they not doing good things? What happens to people who have limited access to health care? Are they not doing good things? What happens? ... You see, to be the people of God, we are called to live and to die in Christ and to rise in new ways, in newness of life. It's hard to believe that I've been in Galesburg almost 10 years now. I did have gray hair when I came. But one of the things that I've learned as I come to this place, to First Lutheran Church week after week after week, is that this place lives the cross. We are continually looking at who we are, looking at how we are in ministry in the world, looking at how we minister to the world, and going back and asking the question, can we do it better? Can we do it more godly? Can we do it with God? And sometimes that means, and this is a bad word in the Lutheran Church, we have to change. But we do. We have changed and we have evolved. And we are a living, breathing community that is full of God's love. And if we are blessed, and we are, it's because we are that. A living, breathing community of believers who is filled with God's love and who takes that love to the world without condition. And that is so important to remember, because in this place we have embraced the idea that God is love, and love has no conditions. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with someone who was talking about suicide and the pain that the church has brought to families of people who die by suicide, because in some churches, if you commit suicide, you go to hell. And so I had this conversation, and she asked me what I thought, and I said, well, is God all loving? Is God all forgiving? Is God all gracious? And she said, yes. So I said, why would God send someone to hell if God is all loving, all gracious, and all forgiving? And she said, okay. And she said, but what happens to people who commit suicide? And I said, go back to A. God is all loving. God is all forgiving. God is all gracious. But I said, no, there's no buts. And that's how we are called to live. And that's how we struggle to live in this place and in the world. And because we do, we continue to be blessed. So may that God of peace hold you in all you love, in your hearts and your minds, and keep you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.